Luke chapter 11, verse 37 to 54. If you need a Bible and you've turned up without one, please don't feel embarrassed. Just pop a hand in the air and there's people poised to bring you one. You'll find that on page 1043. If Bibles are new to you, you look for the big number 11 and then you go down and find the little number 37. And that's the way that it works. It's Luke chapter 11, verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him. So he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you. Woe to you Pharisees, because you give a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kind of garden herbs, but you neglect the justice and love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves which men walk over without knowing it." One of the experts in the law answered him, "Teacher, when you say these things, you insult us also." Jesus replied, "You are experts in the law. Woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. Woe to you, because you build tombs for the prophets, and it was your forefathers who killed them. So you testify that you approve of what your forefathers did. They killed the prophets, and you build their tombs. Because of this, God in his wisdom said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and others they will persecute.' Therefore, this generation will be held responsible for the blood of all the prophets that has been shed since the beginning of the world, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, this generation will be held responsible for it all. Woe to you, experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering." When Jesus left there, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law began to oppose him fiercely and to besiege him with questions, waiting to catch him in something he might say. This is the word of God.
I'd ask you please to sit down. And at this point, I'd ask you to pick up the Bible again, please, and turn with me again to that part of the Bible we read earlier on from Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 11, page 37. You'll find that on page 1043. And as you turn there with me, I want to share with you a very real concern that I have. It's a concern for every single person sitting in this building. My concern is that you will go away from this morning with the idea that religion is a good thing. That may surprise you. I was renewing my car insurance yesterday. When you renew your car insurance, they ask you what your profession is, and the category I always have to put my name under is Minister of Religion. And yet I'm telling you that religion is not a good thing. My very real concern this morning, you see, is that as you see Andrula and David and Saeed and Ali Reza, as you see them getting baptized, that you think they are doing something religious. and that being religious is what Jesus Christ would have you be. But I want to tell you that that is not the message of this morning. In fact, as our four friends get baptized this morning, they are saying the opposite. They're saying, we're not religious. No, rather than being religious, we want to tell you that we have come into a real and forever relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I don't watch a lot of telly, but some years ago there was a series on the telly which involved some kind of parent swap. Did you ever see it? And there was one episode where two English teenagers, and they weren't very nice examples of English teenagers, they were drunken, sexually promiscuous, rude and ignorant. And they went to live with an African-American Baptist pastor and his wife in Atlanta in the USA. It was a fascinating program. These teenagers and these African-American Christians, they struggled to interact with one another. You could describe it as one of the biggest culture clashes ever. But then came that moment when, on the way back to the airport in the car, the voice behind the camera said to this teenage lad, "What did you make of your experience?" And this is what he said. He said, "These people are all right. They're really into this Jesus bloke, aren't they? Jesus. He seems all right. Where can I find Jesus in England? Is he in the Yellow Pages?" Now, what had that young man encountered? He hadn't encountered religion. What he'd encountered was a relationship. A relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, you don't find Jesus in the Yellow Pages, and anyway, no one uses them anymore. But you do find Jesus in the pages of the Bible. And the reason why we have the Bible, and the reason we have what are called the four Gospels, and Luke is one of those four Gospels, is that Jesus Christ wants, as it were, to introduce himself to us. He wants to make himself known to us. And he wants to make himself known to us as a man of passion. Now, if you were here last week, we started to see this from Luke's gospel. Jesus is a man who's passionate about rescuing people from the devil's grip. And Jesus is passionate about preparing us for the judgment day, which is coming for us all. And in the bit that we read today, Jesus is passionate about warning us about religion. Just look down at the Bible, if you would. We saw that Jesus encountered two groups of people. One group's called the Pharisees, and one group's called the experts in the law. Now, you could call them Tweedledum and Tweedledee. They go together. Both of these men, these groups of men, would have thought of themselves as very religious. They thought that the way to make God pleased with you and the way to guarantee that you were in a right relationship with God now and then forever in heaven, that the way to do that was by religious rule keeping. So the experts in the law, they were the guys who knew the law. They knew what pleased God and they told other people how to do it. And the Pharisees, well, they were the ones who listened to the experts in the law. And they were meticulous, they were careful in doing everything that they needed to do to be religious, to be in God's good books. And so if we'd met these two groups of people, we'd have thought, well, these look pretty good folk. They're pretty respectable. And boy, they take God seriously with all the things they do and all the things they don't do. But did you notice, as we read from the Bible, that Jesus didn't do at all what these religious people expected. In fact, what we discover is this, that Jesus surprises the religious, that Jesus actually insults the religious, and that Jesus is opposed by the religious. Let's look at each in turn. First of all, Jesus surprises the religious. So he turns up at this Pharisee's house for a meal. That's good. And in the Bible, whenever Jesus goes somewhere for a meal, you can be pretty sure he's got something to teach that person. So he turns up at the Pharisee's house, and the Pharisee is surprised because Jesus doesn't wash his hands before the meal. Now you may say, well, what's wrong with that? Don't you wash your hands before your meal? Well, I do. But I tend to wash my hands before I meal because they're dirty and it's hygienic to wash your hands. That's not what this Pharisee noticed about Jesus. This religious man, he washed his hands with a special amount of water and in a very special way because it was part of his religion. It was the part of the way that he was basically saying, well, I'm washing myself of all the contamination of all those sinful people I've been among today. And if I do that, when God will be pleased with me when I eat my food. But Jesus didn't do that. And that surprised the Pharisee he was having a meal with. And Jesus took the opportunity to expose the folly of religion. Look what he said in verse 39. I want you to see it. Then the Lord said to him, now then, you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people. Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? We had lasagna for tea last night. It was really good lasagna. But you know what happens with the dish after lasagna? It's mucky, isn't it? It's really dirty on the inside. Now, what did I do after tea last night? Did I give the outside of the lasagna bowl a really good polish up and then put it back in the cupboard? Of course not, you'd say. That's stupid. That's foolish. You don't clean the outside, you clean the inside. But Jesus is saying here to this Pharisee, look, that's what you're doing. Your religious ritual, it can only do something to the outside. It cannot clean the inside. And the message of the Bible is that the inside is where our problem is. It's the inside of you and the inside of me that's the problem. That's because the Bible says that in us is a thing called sin. And that sin is shown by our sins. And it's that sin that dirties our lives and makes us unfit for God, unfit for a relationship with God. And just look how Jesus continues. Verse 42, woe to you Pharisees. Woe. It's a sad word. It's the kind of word that you might use when you see those pictures on the television of those perhaps in Africa who are suffering from a famine and they're malnourished and you look at them and you just think, what a sad, what an awful position to be in. And Jesus looks at this religious man and he says, woe to you. You are in a terribly, desperately sad position. Why? Well, look what Jesus says. These Pharisees, these religious people, they took comfort in the meticulous keeping of petty rules rather than seeking out the big issues. Verse 42, woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without the former being undone. In other words, they just focused on little petty things and thought they were what pleased God. Then look how Jesus goes on. They love to be recognized as respectable. Verse 43. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogue and greetings in the marketplaces. They loved everyone to say, oh, he's a really good bloke. God must be really pleased with him. And then Jesus says that it covers up the reality. Verse 44. Woe to you, because you're like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it. I wouldn't like to look in a grave, would you? I wouldn't like to look at the death and decay that is in a grave. But Jesus says to these religious people, he says, oh, on the outside, you look very nice and respectable. That's what your religion does. But you know, inside, you're full of death and decay. And this is where one of the experts in the law pipes up and says, hang on a minute, Jesus. Hang on a minute. You're insulting us, Jesus. And what Jesus does is he exposes the lie of religion. You see, the Bible says that we have an enemy who hates us. He's called the devil. And the devil actually loves religion. Do you know why the devil loves religion? Because he's a liar. And because religion is a lie. Because the lie of religion is this, that what I do can in some way make up for the bad things that I've done and the good things that I failed to do. Now, Saeed and Ali Reza have both said that they were Muslims. And as I understand Islam, the idea of Islam is that if here's all my bad things in a pile, and if all my good things, well, if I have a bigger pile of good things than bad things, then God will let me into heaven. And basically, that's how religion works. That's what a lot of people think church is all about. Oh, yes, I accept that I'm not all that I could be, but as long as I do lots of good religious things, well, that's what will get me into heaven. Jesus says that's a lie. It's a lie. And one of the lies religion uses is to suggest that religious activity makes us better than other people. But as we encounter the Jesus of the Bible, he says, no. Whether you're religious or irreligious, you are all the same. The Lord Jesus says that we are all sinners. And he says that religion cannot make us any better or worse with God. The most obvious sinner and the most religious person are no different. If we were to x-ray the heart of a religious person and x-ray the heart of an irreligious person, we would discover exactly the same thing. We would discover a heart full of sin. And that leads to Jesus pointing out the tragedy of religion. Just look on, there's another three woes there. We won't look at them in detail. But basically, Jesus points out that religion harms and hurts and keeps from God. So look what he says. You experts in the law, verse 46, woe to you, because you load people down with burdens they can hardly carry, and you yourselves will not lift one finger to help them. You give people a pile of rules and say that's how you please God. And then he talks about them building tombs for the prophets. And the prophets he refers to here were prophets in the Old Testament who basically exposed the tragedy and folly of false religion. There was a man called Zechariah, and at his time, people were really, really religious. But they weren't approaching God in the way God said he should be approached. And Zechariah comes along and says, you're wrong. And do you know what they did? They killed him. And Jesus says to these religious experts, he says, oh, you build a nice tomb for Zechariah. But you know, if you'd been there, you'd have done just the same, because Zechariah's message was, you cannot know God through religion. You cannot. And then look at the tragic verse, verse 52. Woe to you experts in the law, because you have taken away the key to knowledge. You yourselves have not entered, and you have hindered those who were entering. What were they doing? Well, if you look along the line, they were closing the door to knowing God. I realize this might be shocking this morning, because you may have come to church thinking, hang on a minute, people who go to church are religious. Not according to Jesus. Religion shuts the door to God in people's faces. So why does Jesus tell us these things? Well, he's telling us these things because the problem for every one of us is on the inside. We are dirty on the inside. What we're like in the inside means that we deserve to die spiritually. That is to be separated from God forever. And religion will never open the door to a relationship with God. And that's why Jesus had to come. See, why was Jesus so passionate about exposing the folly and lie and tragedy of religion? Well, because as he said these things, he was on his way to the cross. And he knew that when he got to Jerusalem, the people who would plot against him, the people who would hand him over to soldiers who would then nail him to die on a cross, it was the religious people who did that. You read the Gospels, that's who put Jesus on the cross. The religious hated him. But what they didn't know was that his death on the cross was the plan. That he had to die to do what religion cannot do. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To make it possible for people, both religious and irreligious people, to be made clean on the inside. Jesus died on the cross to give life. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He died, the Bible says, in my place to give me his life. And the proof is that he rose from the dead after he died. And Jesus died to open the door to knowing God. As he died, the curtain in the temple, which symbolized being kept away from God, it was torn in two. Because by his death, Jesus did what religion could never do. What's Andrula telling us? David telling us? Saeed Alireza? As they get baptized, baptism is an outward act that puts on display an inner reality. As they get baptized, they are saying, I have been made clean on the inside through Jesus Christ who died for me. As they get baptized, they're saying, I have been given eternal life through Jesus Christ who died in my place, who took my death that I might have his life. As they get baptized, they are saying, I once didn't know God. I couldn't have a relationship with God. And anything I tried, it couldn't get me into a relationship with God. But then I put my trust in Jesus. And through Jesus, I now have a relationship with God. And life, as they've described to us, is now about a relationship. A real and forever relationship. Oh, Jesus does call us to obey him. But the Bible says his commands are not burdensome. And Jesus isn't like those experts in the law who laid in rules on people but didn't lift a finger to help them. No, the Bible says that when we put our trust in Jesus Christ, he gives us his Holy Spirit, who then enables us to obey his commands. There'll be some people here today, and you've been invited to witness the baptisms. And you may have thought in coming to witness the baptisms that your friend invited you because they want you to become religious. No, they don't. They've invited you because they want you to come into a relationship with God. You may say, well, what do I have to do to have that relationship with God? Well, let me read you a story Jesus told. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, that means he was very religious. One was a tax collector, that means he was one of the known sinners of his day. The Pharisee, the religious man, stood up and prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like that tax collector. Oh, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. You can tell he was very religious and he thought that impressed God. The tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Now listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, I tell you that this man, the tax collector, rather than the other, the Pharisee, went home justified before God. That is, in a right relationship with God. Because Jesus is passionate to show us that religion does not put us right with God. Those who are right with God are those who humbly, like that tax collector, say, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And the Bible says that because Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners, that if anyone cries out to God for mercy through him, God will show that mercy. And God will bring us into a relationship with himself. I hope you've got the message. You may say today, I'm not religious. I'm not asking you to be religious. Rather, Jesus Christ calls you into the liberating reality of a relationship with God through him.